Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Ayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let's glance at the side where we provide a structural note, which we call the Mivneh, where we feature in this case a bow tie shape. And you'll notice it says She'elois Be'inyan Bitul Rishus. We'll be asking questions about the ability to renounce one's ownership in the event that someone did not contribute to an Eruv. As you know, in the absence of a contribution to the Eruv, so the attempt of the other members of the common dwelling to join together fails because of this individual that didn't contribute. So we will be dealing with the situation of Bittul that we've discussed already up till now, in the last number of Dapim. So here we have a few questions concerning that issue. So you'll notice a bow tie shape, number one over here, and if you skim down the right-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice at the bottom line, a second question is raised. The topic heading that we have under our no say, where we've written, Hamavata Rishuso, someone who renounces his holding, Hayim Tzorach Levata L'chol Echod Ve'echod, does he have to express his renouncement to each member of the courtyard? Oi, loi. And we'll see, regarding this, we'll have a machlokes, rabba, and abaye. Following the ruling of rabba, who says that one does have to mevatel to each member, you'll notice a triangle will appear in the Gemara, and there are a few of these. And on the side, under the Mivneh heading, you'll see we've written Kushos al Rabo Mitoch Braisa. We will be raising questions on Rabo from a Tanaic source. And the diamond that you can see highlights Meharesha V'Haseifa. Let us now turn to the one more note. And we'll see in the Tanaic source we have lettering that's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, etc. Behemshich haGemora, beEmtza haOmud haGemora Choseres umaveres kol bava shemoker zu. So after quoting the Tanaic source, the Gemara will then go over explaining in detail the source that's quoted. Holsius miodus lechaber bein habavo vaesber baGemora. The letters that we have will be useful later in connecting the section that the Gemara will quote later and the original source. Now the Gemara, 3 lines from the top. Bo minei abaye me rabo. Chamisho sheshruyen bechotzer achas. You have 5 people that live in one courtyard. V'shochach echod mehem v'lo irev. And one of the homeowners opening into that courtyard forgot to join in the Eruv. Keshu mevata reshuso, when he renounces his reshus, his ownership, tzorech levata l'chol echod ve'echod oiloi, does he have to renounce his ownership to each one, or is it sufficient to renounce it to one? Omar le, Rabo answers, tzorech levata l'chol echod ve'echod. One must renounce to each person. Eisvei, we raise a question. Take note of the fact that this is a long question. The Gemara at the end of this Tanaic source will say, Kotoni miha reisha, and you'll notice we have a diamond at that point. And at that section of the Gemara, the question will come to a head. So in the meantime, let's see the source, realizing, of course, that the detailed explanation of the source will follow later in the Gemara. So the source says, Echod shelo irev, no sein reshuso leechod sheirev. Someone who didn't contribute to an eruv renounces his holding to someone who did participate in the eruv. Shnayim sheirvu, noislim reshuson leechod sheirev. You can also have two people that made an eruv; they can renounce their holding to an individual who was not, who didn't participate. Ushnayim shelo irvu, noslim reshuson leshnayim sheirvu. Likewise, two people who did participate in an eruv can give their, they can renounce their ownership. That's again shnayim shelo irvu, two that did not participate in an eruv, noslim reshuson leshnayim sheirvu, can renounce their ownership to two who did participate in an eruv. Oy leechod shelo irev, or these two that were not ma'arev can renounce their ownership to a third member of the chotzer who was not ma'arev. In all of these cases, the renouncement is taking place to in the direction of, to benefit a single legal entity. Even in a case where you had people being mevatel to two who were ma'arev, once you have two people that were ma'arev, they're viewed as a single unit, a single legal entity. Avol. Now, in contrast, that's why we squiggle underline the avol here. Avol lo echod shirev no sein reshuso leechod shelo irev. One who did not participate in an eruv cannot give his reshus to echod shelo irev. This will have to be explained later. The ein shnayim shirev no sein reshuson leshnayim shelo irev. Two who were not ma'arev cannot renounce their ownership to two others who were not ma'arev. Here you have a clear example of being mevatel to a multiple entity, and that's not acceptable. The ein shnayim, and by the way, this is a point that we have learned in a previous daf. The ein shnayim shelo irvu nosim reshuson l'shnayim shelo irvu, and likewise, two who were not ma'arev cannot renounce their ownership to two who were not ma'arev. Again, you have a case of being renouncing unto two who were not ma'arev. Kotoni mihas reisha. In this source, there is, however, a quote from the reisha, from the beginning of the source. Echod shelo irev, no sein reshuso leechod sheirev. That was from the very beginning of the source, where we, in the original source, we dashed underline that no sein reshuso leechod sheirev. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances? I deleko achrino bahadei. If the beneficiary of the renouncement is someone that he was not ma'arev with, if there's no one else there, so bahadi man irev, with whom did he make an eruv? The source says that the reshus is being given to, is being renounced unto one who was ma'arev. That you're talking about a person who had participated in an eruv, means there's someone else there. Elapshito diiko achrino bahadei. There is someone else. You have one person who didn't contribute to the eruv. There are two more people there. The Kotoni, and it says in this source, le'echod shirev, that you're announcing unto one of the people that were ma'arev. So what do you see from here? That renouncement does not have to be unto each individual that was ma'arev, but it's sufficient that the renouncing takes place unto one of them, and he serves as a type of shliach, an emissary, an agent for the rest. V'rabo, what's Rabo's response? Ocho b'may askinon, the source that we just cited as a question on Rabo is talking about the Havayumis. There was someone else there, but he died, so that when the renouncing takes place, it's taking place to the maximum number of people that are left, and that's only one person who's left. So with Rabo's explanation, we preserve the text that said she'irev. The beneficiary of the renouncement is someone who participated in an eruv. However, his partner died, so you're renouncing to the maximum number that you can, the survivor. The Gemara asks, And here we see the triangles that we already introduced. These represent questions on Rava, problems for Rava. E dahave umis. Note that this question lasts a couple of lines. If in fact there was someone else there, but he died, amal seifa. So then state the continuation of the source. Aval ein echod sheirev noisein reshuso leechod shelo irev. This was what we had marked in our original source as section hay of the source, and it says that one who was not marev cannot renounce his reshus to one who was not marev. He dahave umis amayloi. If you're talking about a case of someone that was there but died, so leaving only one person, so why does the seifa say that it doesn't work? What would the case be? The seifa says ein echod she'irev, and you're telling me that the irev case here is Rabbo said that there were two people but one died. So in the seifa, what would be the case according to Rabbo? There's one person that remains of the people that were ma'arev, and it says here he can't be mevatel his reshus to someone who was not ma'arev. Why not? Ela pshita de'isei. So in order to understand the restriction of the seifa, you have to say that when you speak about echot she'irev, the person with whom he was ma'arev is still there. Umi de seifa isei, and from this fact that in the seifa the partner with whom he was ma'arev is there, reisha nami isei, in the reisha case as well, and this is what we have to focus on. We'll get back to the seifa later on and why that doesn't work, but in the meantime, when we look back at the reisha, the ma'arev partner was still there. And it says that you can mevatel your reshus to one of the people that was ma'arev. Not to every, you don't have to mevatel to everyone, and that's a problem for Rabba. The Gemara answers me, the Iria, ha kidi isa v'ha kidi isa. This is not proof, namely, the seifa does not prove what the reisha is talking about. In the seifa, in fact, the partner of Eruv, the Eruv partner, was alive. In the Reisha, the partner of making the Eruv is not alive. So, ha-kidi-isa, the Reisha is, he was there but died, like Rabba explained, and the Seifa is that the two people who made an Eruv, both of them are still alive. Teda, dekotoni, Seifa, the Reisha, the proof to this is that if you look in the Seifa of the Reisha, you'll see like Rabba. And this is all part of a long answer in defense of Rabba. What does it say in the Seifa of the Reisha? This is again a quote from the end of the first part of the source. Ushnayim shelo irvu, noisnim reshuson lishnayim she'irvu. This will support Rabba's approach. Two who did not participate in the Eruv are mevatel the reshus to two who were me'arev. L'shnayim in le'echod lo. They have to mevatel to two people, to the two people to whom they are being mevatel. That is just like Rabba. This Sefer the Reisha is a quote from the, as we said, the end of the first half of the source, was the Gimel section of that source, where it said, Shnayim Shelo Irvu, Noisnim Rishusan Lishnayim Shirvu. The emphasis is there on Lishnayim, on both people that were Ma'arev. So Bittol, we're just repeating ourselves, so Bittol, renouncement, has to be done unto each individual. The Abaye's response to this, Rabaye says you don't have to mevatel to each one. Rabaye Omar, my lishnayim. What does it mean in the source when it says you're mevatel to two? Le'echod mishnayim, to one of the two. Ihochi, now here, take note of the star so that we can connect this point back to the original source. E hochi, if when you see the term two, you really mean one of the two, so then the source should have read in a more streamlined fashion the following. E hochi lisni le'echod she'irev. At the end of Gimel, on the original source, we spoke about Ushnayim Shelo Irvu, and that was Gimel, it said Shnayim Shelo Vinoslim Rishusan. The next phrase should be one le'echod she'irev. And then you would continue reading Oy le'echod shelo irev. That would be the Dalid of the original source. Keep it balanced. Notice the structure would then be more streamlined, so that if the pshat that Abaye is giving is correct, the original source would have read like this suggestion. And it doesn't. So it's not comfortable, it's not good for Abaye. Kashya. So this remains as a difficulty for Abaye's approach to the source. But it's pointed out elsewhere, that when you see the term kashya, that doesn't represent a total repudiation of that particular point of view or that opinion, but rather it presents a technical difficulty. At this point, the Gemara now goes back to the original source, and if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a lettering in circles, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, etc. These are all quotes from the original source. A lot of that which we will see, in effect, is a repeat of the discussion we just had, but in this case it's in a modular fashion where we're looking at each section of the source and trying to explain what's going on. So we continue. Echod shelo irev, and you'll, by the way, what we just explained is, you can see this in the Rashi, right across from here, Rashi says, Echod shelo irev v'chule, hashto meforish lo lekulo, amai itzdrich lemisnayu lekulu. At this point, the Gemara will be involved in explaining this source. Why do I need each section of the source? So in effect, you've got one long topic, one point from here till the bottom line. The Gemara, so we see the source that said, Echod shelo irev noisen reshusa le'echod she'irev, le'abaye, according to Abaye's approach, and the double underlining here is simply to highlight the machloikis, Abaye and Rav and Rabba in approaching this source. So, according to Abaye, Deisei, when it says here in the source, no sein reshusa le'echod she'irev, the partner in the Eruv is alive, he's there, v'kamash malon, and the source teaches me, de'ein tzorech levatu reshus l'chol echod v'echod, that you don't have to renounce unto each party that you have in mind to renounce. It's sufficient to renounce to one, and the renounce you do for him, to him, he serves as a shliach, absorbing the renouncement on behalf of all the rest. Rabba, according to Rabba, the resha is explained, dahave umis. The other fellow in making the Erev was once there, but he died. V'lo gozur zimnin di'isei. And we don't restrict you from being mevatel to the survivor in anticipation of your of another case where the both people are still there, and you would incorrectly, according to Rabba, be mevatel to just one. So the chiddush of this source is, even though according to Rabba's pshat there's only one guy left, it would seem obvious that you can mevatel to him, because as we said in the earlier part of today's shiur, bittul ultimately should be when you're mevatel, you're announcing to a singular legal entity, either one person literally or people that had been ma'arev. Again, this is something we had discussed in our previous shiur at greater length. We continue now with the Beis section of the original source. Ushnayim she'irvu noisnin reshuson le'echod shelo irev. Two who had been ma'arev can renounce unto a single person who had forgot to contribute to the Eruv. Pshita, well, that's obvious, of course that would work. So mahu detema kevon delo irev. You might have thought without this source that since he didn't bother making an Eruv, liknesei, let's impose a restriction on him. and not allow bittul to take place, because as we've learned in the past, when you're mevatel to someone, he has a right to carry in and out of his house. So maybe we should impose a restriction on him. Komash Malon, we don't impose such a restriction. The Gimel section. Ushnayim shelo irvu noistim rishusim l'shnayim she'irvu. Two who were not ma'arev can renounce their holdings to two people who were ma'arev. L'rabo tono seifa l'gluye aresha. As far as Rabba is concerned, this section sheds light on the opening of the source. Namely, what was Rabbo's position? That you have to mevatel to each individual. In this case, it said, Lishnayim Shivun, as we saw in our previous discussion, you are, in effect, being mevatel to each one. So this sheds light on the resha, on the opening case as well, that you would have had to be mevatel to each one. That's Liguya resha, to shed light on the resha that had the fellow been alive, you would have had to be mevatel to each one. And which it says, no sin reshusa le'echot shirev, it must be therefore that the partner had been there but died. Otherwise, it wouldn't have said le'echot shirev in the resha on the aleph section. Le'abaye. As far as Abai is concerned, what does he do with this Gimel section? Shnayim shelo irvu it's derichole. Once again, according to Abaye, the point in this section Gimel that says l'shnayim she'irvu, Abaye had already explained it meant to one of the two. So what is the purpose of this Gimel section? The purpose is the opening point in Gimel, Ushnayim Shelo Irvu, is necessary. I have to hear about this case, that two people who were not Ma'ariv have the ability, have the power to renounce, which of course results in an element of leniency or permission. Salko Daito Chamino, I would have thought, had I not had this Gimel section, Ligzar Dilma Osi Livtuli Lahu, don't allow two to be to mevatel, to renounce unto others, in anticipation of others renouncing unto two people, which would be a fallacious, inoperative bittul. So I would have thought that we would restrict the Gimel case in anticipation of others being mevatel to the two of them, the two that were not Ma'arev. Komash Malon, it's therefore necessary to teach me case Gimel, that we don't make the Gzer, we don't impose a restriction. And as long as the two who were not Ma'arev are renouncing away from them to two that were Ma'arev, it's okay. Oy le'echod she'lo irev lomali. This is a case, this Dalid case, is a case where two who were not Ma'arev are mevatel to one who was not Ma'arev. In other words, you have got, let's say, three people there. None of them made an Eruv. So you have two of them can renounce their ownership to one. So what do I need to teach this for? In other words, as far as being mevatel to one, so that's clear, you're always mevatel to one. As far as the ability of two to be mevatel, we just learned that in Gimel. So ma'u detema, I might have thought, hani mili heichot miksosan irvu miksosan lo irvu. I would have thought that bittul is an option where some of the members of the chotzer were ma'ariv and some were not. Abal heichot kulan lo irvu, but case dalid represents a situation where none of them were ma'ariv. Liknisinhu, let us impose a restriction that they should not be able to mevatel, kidei shelo tishtakach teras eruv, so that they shouldn't forget the rules of Eruv making. Because if as we in fact do allow bittul to take place, so they, you have a chotzer that has a partial solution without using an eruv whatsoever. So is there not a fear that they could come to forget the whole concept of making an eruv? So komash mlon, the point is, we're not worried about that. We don't take that into consideration and allow a chotzer where no one was mariv for the those for the multiple who were not mariv to mevatel to one of their friends. We continue. Hey, aval ein echot shirev noisem rishuso leechot shelo irev. One who was not ma'ariv cannot be mevatel his rishus. Once again, let's correct ourselves. One who was ma'ariv cannot renounce to one who was not ma'ariv. Le'abaye. Now, here, this point we discussed earlier, we have a little arrow here which refers you back to where this was highlighted. This was Abaye had been the speaker above, and from here, this case of where it says, Ein Echod She'irev, Abaye learned from here that the partner in the Eruv was around, otherwise it wouldn't make, this hay section would not make any sense. So there are in fact the partner is still around, and Labaye Tona Seifa Leglui Resha, the hay section is taught in order to shed light on the opening of the source, that when we speak about Echot She'irev, the partner is still there. So we need to know that, and it's only when you learn section Hay of the source do you see that the when it says Echot She'irev, the other fellow is still there. And the shortcoming of this source is, or the shortcoming of what they did is that you only have only one of the two people that was ma'arev is renouncing his holding, whereby and his friend is not, so you're still left with a situation of two people who have two people are still there as owners, one of them not having contributed to the Eruv. Now, LeRabbah, according to Rabbah, what do I need case hay for, or why is it taught here? I need a ton of resha, along the piggybacking or along the lines of the resha. Sotona nami seifa. If we take a look at the Rashi we're looking at is found four lines from the bottom. I need a ton of resha echod shelo irev noisein rishuso leechod shirev. Since in the ratio we spoke about someone who was not ma'arev can renounce his reshus to someone who was ma'arev, tonahach seifa de ipcho loy. It's the seifa therefore is teaching the opposite case of that the opposite case does not work. Namely, one who was ma'arev cannot mevatil his reshus to someone who was not ma'arev. In the Reisha case, the partner in the Eruv was there, but he died. In the Seifa case, as Rabbah explained, if you recall before, Rabbah had said, in this case, the partner in the Eruv is still there. And that's the reason that the Bittul doesn't work, because he wasn't participatory in the renouncing. We continue with Vav. V'ein Shnayim She'irvu. We're in the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. V'ein Shnayim She'irvu. Noisnim Rishuson L'Shnayim Shelo Irvu. Two who were Ma'arev are not able to together Mevatel to two who were not Ma'arev. Ha Su Lomali. What do I need to teach this case? This is obvious. As Rashi says, what's going to happen at the end of the day? Two who were ma'arev are mevatel to two who were not. Well, aren't those two guys still there that each one had not been ma'arev? They aser one on another. They impose prohibition on one another. I've got two people in this chotzer that didn't ma'arev. So what do I need to teach case Vav for? Loi tzrichon, no, it is necessary. The botil le chad minayu lechavre, that after the two who were not ma'ariv received the renouncement from the others, so one of those two was then mevatel to his friend, which would, on the surface of things, leave only one person in possession of the property. So mahu detemo lishteri le, without case vav, I would have thought that the subsequent bittul of chad lechavre would have worked. Komash malon, kevon de beidno de batil lo havale sharyuse b'hachotzer lo. Therefore, we need to tell you that since at the initial, when the initial bittul took place to the two of them, there was no heter in the chotzer. Neither one of them had a heter. They were asering one on the other. So there is therefore no significance, no effectiveness in the subsequent bittul of the one to his friend. This is all, by the way, information that we have learned on our previous, in our previous shiur. Section Zion. V'ein shnayim shelo irvu noisnim rishusan l'shnayim shelo irvu. Ha su lomali. What do I need this case for? This would seem to be obvious from everything we have learned before. So the Gemara answers from the extra loshon, from this call, which called Mishnah Yesera, we learn that even if they made a condition at the outset, the Afal Gav, the Amri Kni Almanas Lahaknos, even though the people who were being Mevatel said, we're being Mevatel to you two on condition that one of you then is Mevatel to his friend, that too does not work. And Rashi points out, Ule'el Parishnala, Rashi already explained this. But the main point for us is, even though they built this into as a condition to their original renouncement, it will not be effective. And the reason for that is, as we said, because at the time that the initial renouncement took place, you didn't achieve heter, so there's no effectiveness in the second stage of bittul. We continue with our next question, and on the side, note that this lasts until Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. It's a long topic. Yoresh Mao Shivatel Rishus. Someone who inherits. Rashi at the bottom line says, Yoresh Sheshochach Ovev Lo Iriv Umeis B'Shabbos. An individual died without having made an heir. He died on Shabbos and he leaves an heir. Velo Bitel Rishuso. Mahu Shivatel Yoresh. Let's say this person who did not make an Eruv at the onset, before Shabbos set in, after Shabbos set in, he was still alive and he was not Mevatel, then dies. Can his heir be Mevatel? Bomine Rava, may Rav Nachman, we're reading in the Gemara at the bottom line. Rava asks of Rav Nachman, Yoresh, Mahu Shivatel Rishus. Can the heir be Mevatel Rishus? And we continue now at the top of Amud Beis. The question is presented in an Aleph O Dilma Beis fashion, and we should have noted earlier that the question itself is a long question. That's why we have the dashed vertical line to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, showing you that all of this is part of developing the question. So we read as follows. Hecha di'i boy la'aruvi me'esmo motzi ma'arev, bituli nami motzi mevatel. Maybe the rule of bittul is tied into the ability of that individual who will be mevatel to have earlier been able to make an eruv. Now, the father, he is someone, the father who was the owner, had he wanted to make an Eruv Erev Shabbos, so he could have done so. Well, he didn't. But since he could have, when it comes to Bittul on Shabbos, he has the ability to Mevatel. Avol Hai, the Yoresh, Kevon Di'i Boy Laruvi Mesmo Lo Motzi Ma'arev, since on Friday, if he wanted to make an Eruv, he could not have made an Eruv. He had no holding in the Chotzer. Lo Motzi Mevatel, and therefore he cannot be mevatel, he cannot renounce. Because according to this side of the question, this aleph side of the analysis, the ability of being mevatel is inextricably related to your potential for having been able to make an eruv. Oy dilma, or do we say yoresh kare davuhu, that the yoresh, the heir, is considered like the leg or the extension of his father. So whatever powers his father had, the yoresh likewise has those powers. Omarle, the question had been posed to Rav Nachman. Here Rav Nachman answers. The double underline is used to highlight two opinions, Rav Nachman and the Beis Shmuel, that are cholik on this issue. Rav Nachman, Omarle, Rav Nachman says, Ani omer mevatel, I say that there can be vitel, that the yoresh can be mevatel, vahani de Bei Shmuel, tonu ein mevatel. But the members of the yeshiva of Shmuel teach that a yoresh cannot be mevatel. So at this point, we have a machloikas, and now we have another marking, the diamond, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, the diamond introduces a sidro shel kushios, a series of questions, shemaros she'ein yoresh mevatel. The questions would appear to show that a yoresh cannot be mevatel. So let's start. Now the first question you'll notice is a very long question, and it's marked thusly. Eisfei, ze haklal. Before we go further, let's just make note of the fact that when you have this kind of structure of Gemara, we don't always see the question immediately. You have to wait off until the end of the entire section. So in the meantime, let's go through the source and explain as we go along, and when the question comes to a head, we'll emphasize that. So in this source it says, Zehaklal kol shemuter lemixis Shabbos hutu l'chol ha-Shabbos. The term Zehaklal is a term that very often needs further explanation. The Gemara will offer that later on. The Zehaklal means we have the following rule. Kol shemuter lemixis Shabbos hutu l'chol ha-Shabbos. Any situation where there was allowance for part of the Shabbos, it's allowed for the balance of the Shabbos, even when things don't appear to be mutter. I would like to point out how Rashi is very sensitive to Gemara structure. You'll notice third line from the top, Kol shehutu lemixes Shabbos meforish lo va'ozil. That means that the Gemara will explain the source as we go along, as the Gemara itself goes along. So basically we read the source without trying to see to what it's saying until the Gemara itself delves into it. So we continue. The whole Shinesar Lemixas Shabbos, the term that opened this source, the Zeh HaKlal, refers to this as well. This is we'll call the second part of the rule, that called Shinesar Lemixas Shabbos, anything that was forbidden for part of Shabbos, Nesar L'chol HaShabbos. The prohibition remains for the balance of Shabbos, Chutz Mevatel Rishus, with the exception of the case of Mevatel Rishus, which, on a superficial level, the case of Mevatel Rishus is where you had part of Shabbos which in effect had a restriction because the Eruv was not made, but later on, from the point that the culprit, if you will, renounces his holding, so then it becomes mutter. That's just one example, by the way, of bittel, but for the sake of simplicity, we said what we did. Now we go over the source. Kol shehutu lemixes Shabbos mutter l'chol ha-Shabbos, that which is mutter for part of Shabbos remains mutter, kegoin irev derech ha-Pesach v'nistam ha-Pesach, irev derech haloin v'nistam halon. Imagine, you had, let's say, two courtyards side by side, and you had a doorway that opened between the two courtyards, and they made an Eruv. That one courtyard brought their food into the next Eruv, thereby joining them together. And as Shabbos began, so they had been joined through their Eruv. In the course of Shabbos, the doorway got blocked up. So their means of access from one to the other is now no longer existent. If it had been blocked up before Shabbos set in, they could not have joined together. But it was open when Shabbos set in, So they were able to join together. Now it got sealed. So we say that they can still carry things or pass things from one chutzner to the other, obviously not through the doorway, but they can throw something over their wall. Likewise, Erev Derech Halon would be the same situation where they made an Eruv because they had the ability to move things or carry things from one to the other, Derech, through a window. In the course of Shabbos, it got sealed up, but that does not prevent them from continuing to transfer items over the wall now on Shabbos. Ze HaKlal, the opening expression of the source that applies to this Kol Shemuter, L'mikse Shabbos, Ze HaKlal Asuye, Mavui, Shenitlu, Koyroysev, Oluchoyov. A Mavui, an alleyway, is permitted to carry in it, provided there was a korah, a crossbeam, or a lechi, an upright pole at the entrance to it, where it meets the Rishos HaRabim, where it meets the public thoroughfare. Let us say that a mavui had been set up properly with a korah or a lechi. In the course of Shabbos, it got knocked down. So we're telling you that since at the beginning of Shabbos the mavui was a place of allowance for carrying, that permission continues through Shabbos. The source continued by saying Kol Shenesar LaMikseh Shabbos Nesar L'Chol HaShabbos Kula, that which was also for the part of Shabbos, for the beginning of Shabbos, it remains also Kegon Shnei Batim B'Shnei Tzidei Rishos HaRabim. Imagine two houses on either side of the Rishos HaRabim, across the street from one another. So you can't carry from one house to the other because you'd be carrying through a public thoroughfare. The Hikifu Nochrim Mechitza B'Shabbos. And in the course of Shabbos, the Gentiles blocked off, they surrounded those two houses, thereby in effect blocking off the rest of the public thoroughfare from those two houses. So the area between the two houses could be viewed in your mind's eye as a courtyard. And the source is telling me that it is also for them, for these two homeowners, one to mevatel his rishus to the other, so as to allow one of them, the recipient, the beneficiary of the renouncement, to carry from his house to the outside. So this source tells us that they cannot do that. The Zehaklal, the opening expression of the source, that, as we said, refers to both parts of the source. When you read this Zehaklal attaching it to the Seifo, it would read Zehaklal Kol Shenesar L'Mikseh Shabbos. So the Zehaklal expression, what is it coming to include? So it's coming to include the case of Mace Zehaklal Suye Mai La Suye Mace Nochri B'Shabbos. The case where there was a courtyard and you had Jews and a Gentile living in the courtyard. And the Gentile member of the courtyard, at the onset of Shabbos, in the event that they had not rented from him his domain before Shabbos, so there's no, they can't make an Eruv. In the event that that Gentile dies on Shabbos, so since they couldn't have made an Eruv Erev Shabbos, they cannot do Bittul on Shabbos. That's the basic rule of Bittul, that if you couldn't have made an Eruv Erev Shabbos, you can't be Mevatel on Shabbos. Vikotoni, and it says in this source, Chutz mi Mevatel Rishus, with the exception being the case of Mevatel Rishus. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Chutz min Mevatel Rishus, Sheshochach v'lo Irev. There was a person who forgot to make an Eruv. He could have made it, but he forgot to make an Eruv. Shafal pi shenesa l'mikseh Shabbos, even though for the beginning of Shabbos, before he is mevatel, there is a restriction. Yesh lo takona b'Shabbos. there is a takona, there's a solution on Shabbos for this person who was not married to be mevatel. Umidelo katoni, from the absence of the following, chutz mishabitel rishus v'yoresh, shma mino, yoresh lo. Since this source does not teach the case of Yoresh, the case of Yoresh being Mevatel would have been another example of something that was usher at the beginning of Shabbos, where you had the father, let's say, did not contribute to the Eruv, so when Shabbos set in, there was a restriction. Then the father died on Shabbos. If the Yoresh would have been able to be Mevatel, so along with the case of Mevatel Rishus, you would have had the case of Yoresh also. So why wasn't that taught? The answer is because that is not an exception to the rule. The rule is, Kol Shenesa L'Mikses Shabbos, Nesa L'Chol HaShabbos Kula, including the case where someone died, leaving a Yoresh. There is no solution. There is no Bittel solution. So that is a problem for Rav Nachman, who said originally that a Yoresh could be Mevatel. The Gemara answers, Emo chutz mitoiras bitol rishus. The exception to the case of Osir b'mikzah Shabbos, Nesel Chol Shabbos Kula, the exception being the realm of bitol rishus. Now when you talk about the realm of bitol rishus, You're talking not only about the individual himself who remains alive, who had not been ma'arev, he can be mevatel, but if in the event that he dies, his yoresh could also be mevatel. That's like Rav Nachman. So by understanding chutz mevatel rishus as meaning not just the person himself who was not married, but chutz mevatel rishus means the realm of bittel rishus, that includes the case of the yoresh. The yoresh is able to be mevatel. Eisvei, let's challenge this again. Echod mibnei chotzer shemeis v'niach rishuso le'echod min ashuk. A member of a courtyard died, and he had bequeathed his holding to someone from outside, from the shuk, literally the marketplace. Miba'od yoim oiser, mishechashecha eino oser. Miba'od yom means from Shabbos, from Friday, that is, when it's still day. The eruv of the first person of the original owner didn't kick in, didn't take effect. So we say that since the Eruv of the owner didn't take effect because the owner himself died on Friday, Eruv takes effect only upon the onset of Shabbos. So if he died Miba'od Yom on Friday, Oser, the Chotzer will be prohibited because you'll have this Echod min Ashuk, who is the owner, but he didn't make an Eruv. Mishech HaShecha, Eino Oser. If the person who made the Eruv, the owner, died after Shabbos set in, so at the beginning of Shabbos, using the terminology we saw before, this is Hutur L'Mikzah Shabbos. It was Mutter upon the onset of Shabbos, so it remains Mutter for the rest of Shabbos. The Echod min Ashuk, Shemes. This is a case of an outsider who owned property in the Chotzer. But he's an outsider, and this outsider dies. V'niach rishuso le'echod mibnei Chotzer, and he had bequeathed his ownership unto a member of the courtyard. So we had a type of, we'll say, absentee landlord, who had originally... assigned or designated a member of the courtyard. In the event of his death, this member of the courtyard would become the beneficiary. So, miba o yoim eino oser. In the event that the person from the shuk died on Friday, so there is not going to be a restriction. Very simply, because if the outsider, the absentee landlord, died on Friday, so the member of the courtyard who benefits, who is the beneficiary, he can make an Eruv. Mishecha Shecha Oser. If, however, this absentee landlord died on Shabbos, after Shabbos set in, Mishachashecha literally is after darkness, means after Shabbos set in, Oser, then there now will be a prohibition, a restriction. The Amai Oser, why is there a restriction? Why is there prohibition? Nivtil, let the member of the Chotzer, who is the beneficiary, let him be Mevatel. In other words, if Rav Nachman is correct that Yoresh Mevatel, why should there be a total restriction here? So from the fact that it says in the source that when the absentee landlord died after the onset of Shabbos, the member of the courtyard is powerless, that goes to show, unlike Rav Nachman, it goes to show that a Yoresh is not able to be Mevatel. The Gemara answers, on behalf of Rav Nachman, my Oser Nami Dikotoni, the term Oser that is stated in the source is Ad Shivatel. It's a temporary Oser. He's Oser until Bittul takes place. Again, like Rav Nachman, that the Yoresh can be Mevatel. The Yoresh is, in this case, the beneficiary, the one who was designated to receive the property. You'll see this answer of that the Gemara gives here, my Oser means Ad Shivatel. The Gemara will use this type of answer later on as well. We continue with another question, and we have a long marking, and you'll notice that this extends quite a few lines down, Ayin Aleph Omen Aleph. Toshma Yisrael V'goy Shriyan B'Megura Achas Umeis Ger. You have a Jew and a convert. Just a word about a convert. A person who converts to Judaism, and after his conversion he doesn't build a family. So he is said to, upon his death, he dies leaving no heirs. In effect, his property is Hefker, and anyone who takes possession of it becomes the owner of it. So we have a case of a Yisrael, a Jew, and a convert to Judaism that are living in the same Megura. Megura is a granary. In Hebrew, we call this a Goren. Rashi says, Megura Goren hu v'cholot b'chadorim. There are separate rooms. V'hoya l'chol echad pischo b'chotzer v'oisrin zalzen. Each one's room opens to a courtyard, which we'll call this a common courtyard. And as a result, unless an Eruv is made, they will impose a restriction one on the other. Namely, the inability of carrying from their rooms into the courtyard. So you have a case of Yisrael Viger Shruyan V'Megura. Shruyan means they dwell in this granary. Umeis Ger. And the convert dies. Miba Oidyoim, if he dies on Friday. Afalpi, we continue at the top of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Afalpi Shehichsik Yisrael Acher Benechosov Oser. This term will have to be clarified later in the Gemara. We'll just translate it. Means even though an outsider, another Jew, takes possession of this Ger's property, he imposes a restriction. Mishachashecha, if the Ger dies after the onset of Shabbos, afal pi shelo hichzik Yisrael acher, eino oser. Now, we should point out that the case of Mishachashecha is the reason there's no iser is the Eruv that had been made took effect. When the Ger died Erev Shabbos, so the Eruv that they may have made did not kick in, it didn't take effect. We have a bracketed section. If we skip the brackets initially for the purpose of getting to the heart of the question before getting involved with details, let's skip, and we have a bracket length indicator that shows you how long this bracketed section is. That's the vertical dash dotted line. We see at the end, Kotoni Mihas Resha, in the Resha case, it says Oser. What happened in the Reisha? We had the Ger dying Miba Ogyom, and there was a prohibition. So the Gemara says, it says Oser, Amai Oser. Why is there a restriction? Niftil, let there be Bittel. So the fact that there is no Bittel, it shows that a Yoresh does not have the ability to Mevatel. The Gemara answers, my Oser Dikotoni, the term Oser that it says in the source is Ad Shivatel. It's a temporary Iser until Bittel takes place. So that would then reinstate Shitas Rav Nachman as being okay, not challenged by the source. Now, let's go back over the details. And on the side, you can see we have a Mivneh, and we indicate Toch Asograyim, a structural note that applies to the section of Gemara in the brackets. We have a diamond with a shaded-in tip. Havlotas Reisha V'Seifo Shel Hamoko Shitsutat Miyad Lifnei Asograyim. This is an attempt to emphasize the Reisha and the Seifa of the source that was cited just before the brackets. And the bow tie highlights Rav Papa, Chuvoisov Shel Rav Papa, Lahazbir Amokar. These are Rav Papa's explanations of the source. So now we read the source. Ha Gufo Kashi. This source is thwart with inherent difficulties. Amris, you say, Miba Oidyoim, if the Ger dies on Friday, Afalpi Shehifzik, even though someone took possession, that imposes an Iser. We say, even though, that leaves room to say, Velo Mibaya Kiloi Hifzik. And it goes without saying when no one would have taken possession. That goes, it goes without saying what? That it would be forbidden. Adarabba, quite the contrary. Ki lo hichzik lo osar. If no one took possession of the property of that ger, so there's no one around to create any Isser. You have just the Yisrael that's left there. Yisrael without the other dweller, and no one in the meantime having taken possession. So you have a sole Jew there. So why would there be any Isser? So the current reading of the source leads us to this difficulty. Omar Rav Papa, Emo Afalpi Shaloi Hichzik. Rav Papa says that you should read the source of as what? That even though no one was Machzik, so that there is an Isser, if someone was Machzik, and even if no one was Machzik. The Gemara asks, "Well, afa pishichzik kotoni," but the source tells me to the contrary, that even though the Yisrael was machzik, hochi ko'omar. So rather, read the source as follows: afa pishelo hichzik miba oidyoim elo mishachashecha. Even though the possession was not taken on Friday, but rather after Shabbos set in, kevon dehavi leila hachzik mibaod yom, since he could have taken possession on Friday, oser. We continue with the second section, the base section of that source, misha hashecha. If the ger died after Shabbos set in, and we pointed out based on Rashi that an Eruv had been made and it kicked in, it became effective. So it's a case of Hutter Lemiksa Shabbos, and we saw before if it's Mutter Lemiksa Shabbos, Hutter the Shabbos Kula, and he died after Shabbos set in, Afal Pi Shaloi Hichzik Yisrael Acher Eino Oser. Again, we focus on the language of this source. It says, even though no other Yisrael was machzik, so there is no prohibition. And we read with the proper intonation, are you saying that even though no other Yisrael was machzik, took over the property of the ger, that there is no Isser, and it goes without saying that it will be mutter ki hichzik, if someone else were to have taken over. Adarabo, ki hichzik osar. To the contrary, if you have another person moving in, taking over the property, that would be reason for restriction. Because now it's multiple, you have multiple ownership in the chotzer. Omar Rav Papa, Amor, rather read the source as afal pi shehichzik, that the chiddush here is that even though someone else was machzik, it nevertheless is mutter. The Gemara asks, well, afal pi shelo hichzik kotani, but the lashon can't be disregarded. It's said in the source in the negative, namely that even though no one was machzik. So the Gemara answers, hachi ko'omar, this is the way to read the source. Afal pi shehichzik mishachashecha, even though another Jew took over the ger's property after Shabbos set in, kevan de lo havel leila achzik mibolyon, since he could not have taken possession of it on Friday, Eino oser. So there is no restriction. Based on the rule that we saw before, that it was, since it was mutter for Miksa Shabbos, it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. Kotoni mias reisho. However, in this source, the reisho said oser. Now, what was the case of the reisho? Let's go back, and you could see before the second diamond, you can see the ger had died. And we said, even though outsider, it was the case of the ger died mi ba'od yom, even though no one had taken possession of it mi ba'od yom, but rather mishachashecha, since he could have taken possession of it mi ba'od yom, he creates an iser. So we're asking, amai oser, why is there an iser? Niftel, let him, the fellow who took over the possession on Shabbos, let him be mevatel. So what do we see from here? That a yoresh, the beneficiary, the heir, in this case, the one who takes over the property of the ger is in place of the yoresh, why does it say also, could he not have been mevatel? So this is a simen that a yoresh is not mevatel. Again, that's the problem for Rav Nachman. Answer one, my oser, dikotoni, what does oser mean? Or what is its purpose? It's ad shivatel. The purpose of oser here is restriction. The purpose of the source to tell me oser is that there is restriction, but up till the point of bittul. But when he's mevatel, it becomes mutter, and that a yoresh is able to mevatel. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, masni sinmoni beishamai hi deomar the amri ein bittul rishus b'shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan represents a second approach to this source, and it's to assign authorship of the source to Beis Shammai, who happens to hold there is no Bittul Rishus on Shabbos, and therefore in a case where the Bittul would be taking place on Shabbos, as we saw, he didn't take possession Mivod Yom, but he took possession on Shabbos. His first opportunity to do Bittul is after he took possession of it, but since it's taking place on Shabbos, it's ineffective. And Rashi adds here, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hani Tarti Masnisa Basraisa the Amri Yoresh Oser, the last two Tanaic sources that indicated that a Yoresh cannot be Mevatel, that's Beis Shammai. That's in accordance with Beis Shammai. So we continue reading in the Gemara, Desna Neimos Ainosin Rishus, from when can there be a giving over or renouncement of Rishus? We call Bittul. Beishamim Ribol Yom, only if it's done on Friday, Ubeisil Omrim Misha Techshach. Only after Shabbos sets in, then we speak about Bittul. Omar Ulo, my taimo to Beis Shammai, to Beis Hillel. What is the basis of Beis Hillel that allows for Bittul after darkness, after Shabbos sets in? So we have a marking that we should point out before we go further in the Gemara. We've double underlined here, and a few lines later, Elo, and on the side under our Mivne heading, we've noted Shnei Shlovim Be'ula LaHazbir Machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We have two stages in presenting Ula's explanation, who explains this source. So why? Based on what does Bittul work after Shabbos already sets in? So that's Shitas Beis Hillel. Nase Ka'omer Klach Eitzel Yofas. Now this Gemara is very, very terse. So we'll take advantage of Rashi, who gives us the background. The case of Klach Eitzel Yofas literally means go to the better ones. This has meaning in the case of the Truma tithe that you do through an agent, through a shaliach. So Rashi says, Klach Eitzel Yofas Gabi Tori Meshel Chaver, where someone is tithing the Truma tithe for his friend's produce. Shalom midas, and he was doing so without, let's say, without formal instructions. Tanya bo baal habayis umotzei shu torim. The owner of the crops comes and sees that his friend had removed a percentage for truma. The omar lo klach eitzel yofos, and the owner says, why don't you go to the better crops, the better produce. If, in fact, there are better ones, so then we say that that which he tithed is a good tithe. To Goliadaita Denichole, the fact that the owner comes with this suggestion, why didn't you take from the better ones, shows us that he, in effect, is happy with the fact that the friend did the tithing. Gamrinon, and we say there in the Gemara, Bava Metziah, Kamanda Shavishliach Me Korodomi. In order for an effective tithing to take place, you need to have agency. So we say, well, if the friend came along shalomi das without the formal knowledge of the owner, so where was their agency? Where was there being appointed a shaliach? So we say that from the we'll say it's kind of a retroactive situation from the fact that the owner comes along saying, you know, you could have taken from the better stuff. It shows us that he was happy, and it's tantamount to his having appointed him an agent. Ha chinami. Now here's the tie into our topic. Kevan de botil hashta, since he is being mavatel now on Shabbos, goli daite de mikora b'sharyusa nichole. This fellow is showing us that at the outset he was seeking permission, seeking to create a sharyusa means a heter in this chotzer. If he simply forgot and didn't make an Eruv of Erev Shabbos. And all that we see here is a type of retroactive declaration of his being, of his desire, of his wish for there to be some amount of heter. And it's not as if, like what Beis Shammai was saying, it's not as if that you are transferring ownership on Shabbos, but rather it's a revelation of what his original mindset was, and not a transferal of property on Shabbos, which is something that would be forbidden. The Gemara continues, Omar Abaye, using this analysis of Klach Eitzel Yofos, Meis Nochri B'Shabbos, my Klach Eitzel Yofos Ika, in the case of the Goy, that was a member of the Chotzer, that he dies on Shabbos. Notice the arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This tells you to go back to Ayin Omid Beis, where reference to this case of Meis Nochri B'Shabbos was, and the case there was you had a chotzer where you had Jews living and a Gentile, and the presence of the Gentile imposes a restriction, and of course in the event they had not rented from the Gentile beforehand, and then this Gentile died on Shabbos. So we say that there could be bittul, being that it's a chotzer that there was no eruv there, but they could be mevatel. But now in this case, this Gemara says my klach eitzel yofos ika, this svora of the bittul that a person does now retroactively shows that he was interested in heter from beforehand. In the case that a nochri had been present at the onset of Shabbos, you can't use this heter. The goy, the nochri was an objective block to heter. So you can't say this person who is now being mevatel in that particular case was interested in heter at the beginning of Shabbos. Elo, second stage of Ulu's explanation, Hocho behokum iflihi, the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is as follows. The Beis Shammai Savri, Bitol Rishus Mikna Rishusahu. The phenomenon of renouncing ownership is in effect a transferal of ownership. That's Mikna, I transfer, I transact my ownership to you. And Umikna Rishusa B'Shabbos Osir, it is forbidden to transfer ownership of your possessions on Shabbos. We call that Mekach U'Memkar, a prohibition of engaging in business on Shabbos. U'Beis Hillel Savri, Beis Hillel's opinion on what Bittol is, Istaluke Rishusa B'Almahu, it's a person removing himself from his domain. Vistaluki Rishusa B'Shabbos Shabri Domi, and removal of oneself from his domain is something that is permissible. So when he, the called the problematic individual, removes himself from the domain, or in the case where the multitude were mevatel two one, so they remove themselves, leaving only one owner, that's okay. Removal of yourself from your domain is something that is allowed to be done on Shabbos, and hence Beis Hillel says you can be mevatel even mishetechshach. Before we close, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.